Hi, this is Paul Marks, host and producer of Multifamily Matters. Today we're going to air the best of Multifamily Matters. It's a very educational and informative episode, so listen and enjoy the best of Multifamily Matters.
Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to multifamily industry operations. I'm your host, Paul Marks. We have a great show with a wonderful guest who is extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. And today we're discussing multifamily's looming crisis, the fight for talent. Joining me today in the studio is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, a nationally sought-after speaker and multifamily industry educator, Bill Nye, who is also the director of operations at Rockstar Capital. Welcome, Bill.
Well, thank you, Paul. Thanks for having me.
So, full transparency to our listeners, Bill and I first met when I took a class, I'm going to say it was 8 years ago or so, at the Houston Apartment Association, which was my first class that I took towards getting a designation, and was so impressed with what Bill had to say and the way he taught the class that I ended up getting my designation. So so I owe that to you. But it wasn't easy. I'll say that it was a lot of hard work, as it should be in the industry. So Bill, when I asked you what topic you would like to discuss today, you had sent me some notes, and you said that the multifamily industry's looming crisis is the fight for talent. Why don't you kind of give us a situational analysis on that, where we stand or where you see we stand with that?
Sure. So this has been coming for quite some time. I've seen this really heading in the direction that it is today. And really, the last year and a half has just accelerated it and in my opinion, added some additional complications in the ability to be able to attract. And I think it started when young men and women coming out of school no longer sought blue-collar labor, if you will, working with their hands mm-hmm. as a means for making a living. And it really started to scare me. You know, when I was a kid, if our bicycle broke down, we fixed our bicycle. We knew how to do that.
Right.
You know, it was just a skill that you had to have to survive. You know, that's changed because kids aren't engaged in the same activities today mm-hmm. as they were when I was a child. And so as a result, the aptitude is different. Mm-hmm. The interests are different. And so especially on the maintenance side of our industry, you know, that's just not something that people have a lot of interest in doing coming out of high school.
Right. And it, when you say that, it reminds me that a couple of years ago, with the National Apartment Association's Apartmentalized Conference, their large national conference, back when they did it in person, which I think they're planning on doing this year, Mike Rowe with mm-hmm. Dirty Jobs, sure. from the show Dirty Jobs, was actually one of the keynote speaker, mm-hmm. and talked exactly about the topic that you're saying, that there is a crisis and, mm-hmm. and that there needs to be an effort made, initiatives put forth to be able to introduce people to this type of work and encourage them to do it because it is a crisis. Tell us about how you think it breaks down between the indoor teams and the outdoor teams.
Yeah, so, you know, I think what is happening is a couple of things. One, you know, years ago, really before institutions got involved in multifamily investing, you know, the business model was you had a small apartment community and you hired a husband and wife to manage that for you. Mm-hmm. And the wife took care of the leasing and collecting the rent. The husband cut the grass, turned the apartments, did the work orders, those types of things. But then the big institutional lenders got involved, and all of a sudden what went from a standard, you know, 20 to 60 unit apartment community became these mega communities we have today with these tremendous amenities. And that certainly changed the need for staffing. It changed the need for technical skills. And where, you know, from the inside, you know, the leasing, collecting the rent has continued to be the same. On the outside, it's been very, very different because the expectations are different. The technology required to do the job has changed. And so, you know, I think that we've got a huge shortage now of folks who want to do the maintenance work. Example, I was just recently at a Buc-ee's getting some gas. Mm-hmm. And as I was leaving, they had a huge banner over the door, and they were you know, hiring. Mm-hmm. And they had what they were willing to pay. And I said to Lindsay, who was with me, I said, my gosh, they're paying what we would pay. Mm. And these folks don't have to be on call.
Right.
You know, they don't have to work outside in the Houston heat.
Right.
And humidity. And they're offering 401ks, they're offering health insurance benefits, they're offering all the same things. And you probably get a discount on your Buc-ee's snacks
right.
on top of that.
Right.
And so, you know, that's that, you know, we're not just fighting other management companies for talent anymore. We're fighting all kinds of industries for that talent, especially the maintenance talent. And you know, I'm going to talk a little bit later about immigration and the role that plays in this as well. But to be able to find folks who want to be on call, work outside, and you know, if you're up north in the cold, you know, here in Houston in the heat and the humidity and the rain, respond immediately as soon as you can after an ice storm like we just had, mm-hmm. or respond immediately after a hurricane has gone through, and then know that you're probably going to be at the property working round the clock, you know, for a couple of days, maybe even longer. That's just not very appealing to folks. And so to be able to find people who want to do that for a living has become a tremendous challenge.
Yeah. And you mentioned up north, and you know, I'm curious because obviously you have your finger on the pulse of what's going around the country because of all the training and the teaching that you mm-hmm. do going from market to market. But also for many years, you ran a very large multifamily management company in the Northeast.
Right.
Is there any geographical differences, or is this looming crisis something that is everywhere?
It's everywhere. It is. I talk to operators from California to New York, you know, from Michigan to Florida, and it is everywhere. Everyone is struggling to try and find the talent to get the job done, to get the apartments turned, to get the work orders done, to the leasing team. The leasing team is not quite as difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But that you know, that outside team, that maintenance team, that has become a tremendous challenge. You know, 2 years ago, I called it a national epidemic to the multifamily industry.
Wow.
And I really believe that.
Let's talk a little bit. We've got about 3 minutes or so left in this segment. But let's talk a little bit about the inside staff and team and what challenges you see from trying to find great talent and keep them.
Well, you know, I think that the last year has changed people's expectations. Now, first of all, I don't think that we've done a good job as an industry promoting the opportunities. And I speak from firsthand experience. You know, I started in 1994 by accident as a maintenance guy in Durham, North Carolina, and had no idea that this was a career path, had no idea that this was a professional industry. And so I went from that maintenance guy position. A year later, became a community manager, a property manager, became a regional manager, then became a full-time consultant and speaker and trainer in our industry, and now for the last 12, 14 years have served at the executive level. So I've certainly learned that. But, you know, with the leasing team, the inside team, what we're seeing now is a difference of sending people home and telling them that they can work from home has changed expectations drastically. Mm. And we've got to adjust our expectations because they've adjusted their expectations. And if we want to go back to how we operated, you know, prior to the pandemic, I think we're in for a rude awakening. I don't know that being able to recruit new talent in to manage and lease our apartments is going to be effective because we've sent a message to people that you can work from home and be effective. And there's ways that we can do this from the inside team. Certainly a different challenge from the outside team, but from the inside team, we can. You know, technology has changed the way we operate mm-hmm. drastically. And we did a good job of learning to adapt, you know, with virtual tours and those types of things. But if we try to force it back to how it was before, I think we're going to find some challenges that we're not really seeing. You know, we got to see the curve ahead.
Sure.
And so I think that's really important.
we're going to talk in more depth about that in our next segment. But in this last minute of this segment, just kind of give an overview of what you think some of those challenges are, and then we'll come back and talk about them in detail in the next segment.
Some of the challenges in terms of?
Of the expectations when we come, if we try to get back to the way we were.
Yeah. Well, you know, as I said, I think the expectation of, you know, old school office hours is going to be the biggest one, mm-hmm. you know, where you got to be in the office at 8:30 and you got to stay there until 5:30 and there's no flexibility with that. I think that's a big challenge. And again, that's how we operated forever.
Sure.
And, you know, we're unlike any, I mean, we're like every other industry in that, you know, how we do things, you know, all of a sudden everybody wants to follow and copycat that. And so I think that that's how everybody operated. And if you were going to work in the industry, that was your expectation. But I think if we're going to try to force people back into that, I think we're going to have a hard time attracting the best.
Okay.
I mean, we'll attract people who can't find anything else, but mm-hmm. that's not the answer. Attracting the brightest and the most talented, we've got to exercise some flexibility that we've not introduced before.
That's great. I mean, that's something that I think a lot of people really haven't given a lot of thought to. But we're gonna be finding out, because it seems like we're at the tail end of having to deal with the pandemic, and people are starting to return back to some normal mm-hmm. normalcy in their lives. Well, we're gonna break it here for this segment of this episode. We will be back after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Well, we're back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and today we're discussing the topic of multifamily's looming crisis, the fight for talent. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me today in the studio is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, a nationally sought-after speaker and multifamily industry educator, Bill Nye, the Director of Operations with Rockstar Capital. And before we jump back into the conversation, I do want to remind our listeners, if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or just listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So Bill, at the end of the last segment, you were talking about that we could be in for a little bit of an awakening as we come out of the pandemic, as far as if people are strict about going back to the way, if companies are strict about going back to the way they operated prior to the pandemic, that expectations have changed in the workforce, in the multifamily workforce. I know you said that you've seen things happen. Competition not only between multifamily companies, but with other industries as well. Tell us what kind of writing on the wall you're seeing. But before you do that, I want our listeners to know this is something you really, really need to be aware of. So take note of this topic and what Bill's saying, because he does have his finger on the pulse of what's happening across the country due to the training he does in talking to people. So, Bill, go ahead. I'm sorry.
So 2 years ago, I made a decision, and at the time, I was the COO of a company out of Eastern Pennsylvania called Berger Rental Communities, 10,000 units. And so I made the decision that we were going to start offering signing bonuses. And so we did. And our competition scoffed at that. I got so much. I would go to an industry event or fundraising event, whatever the case might be, and I would run into people that did what we did for a living. And the first thing they wouldn't do is they wouldn't ask me, why was I doing that? I was making their life so much more difficult. I was upsetting, you know, the apple cart, right, if you will. And that's fine. That, you know, the one thing I've always tried to do is things that no one else is doing. Mm-hmm. And I think that's how you have a competitive edge, as long as it's smart. But that has become such a common practice. Here's an example, Paul. My oldest brother owns a restaurant in Northeast Ohio. It's not a fancy restaurant, just a nice little typical country cafe, if you will. Mm-hmm. And he was offering a signing bonus for dishwashers.
Wow.
And last Monday, so a little over, almost 2 weeks ago now, my brother had to make the tough decision. And this was a profitable restaurant. Mm-hmm. I just want to make sure I make that clear. It's a profitable restaurant with, you know, they serve breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And the place was, you know, seated probably 50 people, but always busy. And so my brother made the tough decision to close the restaurant. Mm. So it's over. Mm. And when I asked him why, he said, because I cannot find help. Mm. No one wants to come to work. I can't find dishwashers. I can't find servers. I can't find cooks. And he said, I can't operate a restaurant if I don't have labor. There's no labor. He said, people won't come to work. And as he and I began to talk about this, and he also owns a trucking company that runs, you know, not nationally, but certainly covers several states around Ohio, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Indiana, Illinois. Mm-hmm. And so he said that everywhere his drivers go, they see signing bonuses, banners and signs everywhere. Everyone's offering signing bonuses. Here's the point I'm making. We used to just compete for talent against one another within our own industry. And once you got into the industry, that became, for a lot of people, your career path. You stayed in, just as myself, you know, I'm a lifer. I've been doing this for almost 30 years. And I think that was typical. It's not as typical now. So many industries are just looking for talent that they don't care that your experience is in multifamily. They just want to know that you can provide some value in some way. And so if we don't make adjustments, and I'm seeing this for the first time, really over the last 6 months, I've seen so many people, and I have, you know, tens of thousands of followers on LinkedIn. And so I see people on LinkedIn post positions, or post announcements rather, where they've left their position with a really good multifamily operator to go into a completely different career field. Something that has nothing to do with what we do. And that used to be unheard of. But that's because everybody is fighting for talent. And so we're now losing our community managers, our regional managers, our leaders to other industries because they're hurting for talent just as we are. And they don't care that, you know, it's in a completely different career field. They just want people to fill those positions and bring some talent to their companies. And they're offering big signing bonuses to do it.
You know, I'm curious about something you said. You indicated that 2 years ago you made the decision at Berger to offer signing bonuses. What did you see at that time? What was it that because that was well before the pandemic. What was it that caused you to say, I think this is something that needs to happen to be able to, I'm assuming, attract talent for Berger?
Yeah, so for me, what I saw was that the well had run dry in fresh talent, new talent, people who had never done this before. And that used to be a mainstream for me. For instance, I can't tell you during my career how many folks I've recruited from the restaurant industry.
Sure.
Great servers to come lease apartments. And I could just name person after person who has worked in multifamily for me, who still works in multifamily years later and been very, very successful. But I saw that beginning to dry up. And when I saw that drying up, I said, okay, so where are we going to find our talent? We're going to have to cherry pick our talent from our competitors. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, how do we do that? How do we convince somebody who's perfectly happy working for company A to leave and come to work for our company? And I thought, well, some upfront cash. Mm-hmm. And it actually worked extremely well. It didn't sit well with our competitors, which right. is why they kept coming to me, you know, and talking to me about it, because they could see what was happening. They were losing their best people to us, in part because of culture, mm-hmm. but in also part, you know, the worm that got their attention on the hook was a signing bonus. And then once we got them in for an interview and they began to learn about who we were and our culture and how we treated people and that sort of thing, you know, then they decided to take the hit.
Yeah.
But that's what caused it was I saw that well dry up in terms of people from the outside who had never done this before wanting to do this. And I thought, well, I've got to attract new talent somehow. And the only way to do that is I had to cherry pick from our competitors. And a signing bonus was my way of doing that.
Have you seen or heard through your discussions with people around the country and the industry that more and more people are adopting that? Or is it still just one or two?
Yeah, not as big in the multifamily business, and I don't understand that. You know, it's everybody else is doing it. My brother said trucking companies are doing it, warehouses are doing it, factories are doing it, restaurants are doing it. My brother saw he recently was in Wisconsin and traveling back to Ohio. They broke the trip up over 2 days, stopped at a hotel, ordered a pizza from Domino's. Domino's was offering $1,000 signing bonus for delivery drivers.
Oh wow,
$1,000 to deliver pizzas, and so. It's become a common practice, but it is not a common practice in multifamily. And quite frankly, I'm scratching my head. I don't understand why we're not doing it.
Give our listeners an idea of, for instance, either what you did or what you've seen other people in multifamily do. How does the signing bonus work? What are the parameters of it as far as for someone to qualify and to get it? I would think I've seen in a lot of cases when. In other industries, when someone offers a signing bonus, you have to be there for a certain period of time and so forth. What do you think has been successful?
Yeah, I've seen it both ways. I've seen it where companies say, well, we're going to pay it when you hit the six-month period or the 90-day period or that sort of thing. I didn't. I made the decision that the 100% of it would be in your first paycheck. Mm-hmm. I was willing to take a risk. And the reason I did that is because I always try to be in tune with our recruiting team, know what kind of person fits, and make good decisions. Because if you hire right, you don't have that fear of, well, what if they leave?
Right.
And so I never took that approach. I took the approach of, we're going to make good decisions. Sure, occasionally somebody's going to burn us. They're going to get their signing bonus, and 2 weeks later, a month later, whatever the case might be, they're out the door. But I always took the position of, if we're really good at this, and we're a good employer, and we have and the folks who are conducting the interviews know what they're doing, know what they're looking for, we're going to make more good decisions and bad decisions, and it's going to work out. And so that's how we executed it, and it worked out fine for us. Yeah, occasionally we would pay someone a signing bonus that didn't last very long, but for those few that I've talked to that do it, most of them are, you know, some are giving half now and the other half at 3 months or 6 months. Some aren't giving you anything for 3 months or 6 months. But, you know, for me personally, I paid the whole thing up front because that was our promise. That if you sign on, we're going to pay you. So when you signed on, we paid you.
Yeah, that's kind of like in the spirit of a signing bonus. When you sign, you get paid.
Yeah.
But we've got about a minute left. What do you think is reasonable as far as a range of what you're seeing out there as far as people offering signing bonuses?
Well, I think to some extent that's market specific because salaries are very different.
Yeah.
So for instance, you know, New York City versus,
sure,
you know, El Paso, Texas. But, you know, I'll tell you, we were paying $750 for a leasing agent or a service tech, and we were paying double that for a community manager or a service manager. So,
yeah,
you know, our signing bonus was, you know, contingent upon the position we were trying to fill. And we found that those numbers seemed to work really well for us. It was very successful. We had very low turnover, and we usually averaged about 3% of our positions open. And I've always set it as a benchmark to be under 5%. Mm-hmm. Once you get over 5%, you're struggling to accomplish the mission.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's very reasonable. We're going to be back with much more about this topic. I encourage our listeners to stay tuned because there's going to be a lot of interesting information that you really need to know about this looming crisis in our industry. We're going to be back after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Co COVID-19 has greatly impacted the multifamily industry, emphasizing the need to reduce costs and increase revenue right now. PM Workforce can help you by providing intensely trained, performance-ready, certified leasing professionals. On-demand labor gives you more control over staffing costs. Their proprietary technology allows you to solve staffing problems within 60 minutes, 24/7, 365. Go to PMWorkforce.com before making a long-term hiring decision. Try one of their leasing professionals today. PM Workforce, the leasing company, consistently excellent.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Well, we are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and we are discussing the topic of multifamily's looming crisis, the fight for talent. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me today in the studio is a longtime multifamily industry veteran and a nationally sought-after speaker and multifamily industry educator, Bill Nye, who is also the Director of Operations at Rockstar Capital. I want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. Econserve, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. PM Workforce, the leasing management company, consistently excellent. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. And CTS, complete technology solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. Bill, in our two previous segments, we touched a little bit on the pandemic. As a result of the pandemic, everybody changed the way they work. A lot of people were working from home in different positions. Obviously, in our industry, there's some things that you can't do from home when it comes to maintenance issues and work orders. But you'd indicated that you think that expectations have changed in the workforce because they had an opportunity to work from home, the workforce did. Let's talk a little bit more about that. Tell us your thoughts.
So I think some folks have certainly demonstrated the ability to be extremely productive at home. Others have proven that they can't. And I don't think that's ever going to change. That's a personality thing. But artificial intelligence has certainly been making its way into our industry, probably slower than a lot of other industries, but it's still has been somewhat of a game changer in terms of with the technology, being able to communicate with your prospects and residents from home. So I can process an application from anywhere. I can take your calls. I can call you back. We have the artificial intelligence now to allow us to use my personal cell phone to take calls from residents, and my personal cell phone number doesn't come up. I don't have that concern that now they have my personal cell phone number. Mm-hmm. And so there's just some real simple things out there that have allowed people to do some of these things from home. And I think what it's done is that, sure, we still have to have, a live person in the office to tour a prospect and to some extent, although that has changed as well because of technology, with smart technology in particular. And by the way, 5 years ago, I made a statement that smart technology needed to be the number one thing that management companies worked on. My friend Richard Roos, who's the COO of Ventera out of Canada, mm-hmm. He and I have monthly conversations, I know they've implemented it on their entire portfolio, and they have about 18,000 apartment homes. But what that's done is it's allowed us to give a one-time code and access to a furnished model or an unfurnished vacant apartment home so that prospects can tour on their own when it's convenient for them. Mm-hmm. And so traditional office hours aren't as critical as they used to be. Mm-hmm. And so now, you know, we have 24-hour virtual leasing. Our leasing offices are open 24 hours a day. And I think that's good for the industry. I think it's good for the prospect. And I think companies that understand this and adapt to this will also find that the need to have, you know, 2, 3, 4 bodies in a leasing office, you know, 6, 7 days a week is not as important as it used to be. And the employee doesn't want to work that way anymore because mm-hmm. they understand that. Why am I sitting here behind a desk with nothing to do? The things I'm doing, I could be doing from home. Now, certainly there are things you have to be on site to do, walking the property, you know, inspecting units, you know, a lot of those critical tasks. And they're really important, but it doesn't take a team of 3 or 4 or 5, you know, 6, 7 days a week to do that.
Right.
You know, a lot of those tasks can now be done from home. And, you know, when you know, the government forced us to, you know, minimize the number of people in an office at any time, we learned as an industry very quickly, well, what tasks, you know, require someone here and what tasks can be done from home. And we began to assign those tasks. And I think it taught people new behaviors. And as a result, it's taught people new expectations.
You know, and I've visited, I guess, for the last over 15 years, I've been visiting offices, leasing offices, management offices on properties. And I, you know, it was commonplace for years to see residents, not just prospects, but existing residents lined up, you know, waiting to have a turn to talk to the manager or assistant mm-hmm. manager about something that they needed or an issue or whatever it might be. Pandemic comes in play. You've got limited office hours, limited people in the office. How do you see that changing in the future as far as servicing the residents who would normally come in person?
Yeah, so, you know, technology has changed that as well as a lot of people. For we can say whatever we want, but there are people who will never again be comfortable around other people. There mm-hmm. are people who, you know, would go to a stadium and enjoy a ball game, whether it's baseball, football, what have you, will never do that again mm-hmm. because they're never going to feel comfortable doing that again, which means that they're not going to go into the leasing office because they've learned I don't have to. Mm-hmm. I can pay my rent online. I can go to the package locker and get my package out of a locker that you know, only the delivery person has touched. You know, I can submit my service requests online. You know, all of those things are now, you know, done without any human interaction. Some of it's sad in some ways because I think human interaction is critical to our happiness and well-being. But it is the way of the world. We are not going to go back to who we were prior to this. Mm-hmm. And so not only has the expectations of the employees changed, but the habits, behaviors, and expectations of the customer has changed as well. They don't need face-to-face interaction anymore. They learn that they're just fine without being in the leasing office,
yeah.
you know, getting their cookie and their cup of coffee, because we shut all those things down.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and you know, it's that way with everything. I mean, they just didn't learn that about the multifamily industry, the residents. You know, mm-hmm. they learned it about everything. Whether it's, you know, getting dry cleaning or whatever, they, you know, it was a completely different change.
Yeah, groceries.
Yeah, exactly. So let me ask you this question, because I've talked with a lot of people in the industry on the show here. I know that when, you know, for the last 4 years or so, when I would go to one of the national conferences or regional conferences, and I would walk through the exhibition hall and look at some of the companies that were you know, breaking through with smart technology to offer to multifamily, I would ask somebody, you know, who just had their pitch, and they would say, "Yeah, I think it's going to be something that would be beneficial to the industry, but it's not on the front burner right now." How do you think the pandemic changed that?
Well, it certainly put it on the front burner for a lot of folks because mm-hmm. they scrambled to try and figure out how do we give prospects access to an apartment without a leasing agent being on site, because in many states, I was in Pennsylvania at the time, you know, we weren't allowed to, you know, to tour people. We
Sure.
weren't allowed to open our doors and let them come in and take them on a tour. And so it certainly forced a lot of people to put it on the front burner because they were scrambling. Fortunately for us, we'd already done this. Mm-hmm. We'd done this a long time ago because I really saw the value in it. I've been saying for a long time that once you live in a fully smart technology equipped apartment, you're never going to want to live in one that isn't ever again. And so, you know, we made it a priority in our company. And I'm glad we did, because once this happened, you know, all we had to do was work with our vendor, you know, on some access codes that would disappear after a certain period of time or after it was used one time. And, you know, boom, we're set to go. But I think it's, you know, that we got to stop worrying about some of the silly things. Some of the arguments I've heard are, well, you know, what if somebody takes something? And I just laugh at those types of things. Well, what if? I'm not going to operate a business based on a bunch of what ifs. Okay, somebody, you know, somebody takes something out of a vacant apartment or out of the model. What are they going to take?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, what's there that really has value that they can pick up and carry out? Mm-hmm. You know, some plates.
Right.
We're not going to go out of business because somebody took some plates. And I'm not going to make a critical decision based on the fear that somebody's going to take some plates out of the kitchen.
Yeah.
So we got to stop doing that.
Let me ask you a question, because I know the portfolio that you were working with in Pennsylvania and Berger in all your markets, they were existing inventory that was on the ground. How difficult was it to make all those existing properties smart, as opposed to when people are developing new properties, building from the ground up, they can put those things in? What did you find with that?
Yeah, I mean, it was certainly much more challenging, but it could still be done. Mm-hmm. You have to make some changes on what type of equipment you use and that sort of thing. But, you know, we had to do it. We had to do it for a number of reasons. One, because the way we were forced to operate, and two, because just like everybody else, you know, the staffing was such a problem that this became another person. You know, once mm-hmm. that technology was in place, you know, just as now, and I'm not a fast food person, I never eat fast food, but I know millions of Americans do. You don't walk up to the counter, of my understanding, you don't walk up to the counter at McDonald's and order from a live person anymore. Now you walk up to a board, mm-hmm. right? And you place your order from, you know, a digital board. And so that becomes an employee, if you will. Mm-hmm. And the same thing with technology. I see the technology in artificial intelligence. I'm not looking to replace people. I'm looking to get the job done.
Yeah.
And I hope that makes sense. And I don't want our listeners to think that I'm just looking for a way to do what we do without manpower. But we're struggling for manpower. And, you know, so I saw this as a way of getting around that, where we can operate efficiently, effectively, with one less person in the office, because we can't find that one person to fill those open positions. So it was something that not only serviced our customers well, but it was important to our mission and being able to accomplish a mission.
All right. Well, we are going to break it here. We're going to be back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
COVID-19 has greatly impacted the multifamily industry, emphasizing the need to reduce costs and increase revenue right now. PM Workforce can help you by providing intensely trained, performance-ready, certified leasing professionals. On-demand labor gives you more control over staffing costs. Their proprietary technology allows you to solve staffing problems within 60 minutes, 24/7, 365. Go to PMWorkforce.com before making a long-term hiring decision. Try one of their leasing professionals today. PM Workforce, the leasing company, consistently excellent.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Well, we are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the topic of multifamily's looming crisis, the fight for talent. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me today in the studio is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, a nationally sought-after speaker and multifamily industry educator, Bill Nye, who is also the Director of Operations at Rockstar Capital. Before we jump back into the conversation, I want to let our supplier partner listeners know that if you are interested in becoming a sponsor of Multifamily Matters, we have some very unique sponsorships available. Just reach out to us through our website at multifamilyradio.com. So, you know, Bill, we've talked about this looming crisis, and we've talked about how multifamily went from competing against other multifamily companies now to competing against other industries to try and find employees. I want to ask you one question, and I know you've got some tips you want to share with our listeners, but how do you keep your employees?
Yeah, that is really the golden egg to all of this, because if you can keep your employees, then the battle or the fight for talent becomes less impactful. And so, you know, every company has a culture, but I think it's important that, especially in today's workforce, that you establish a culture where people feel like they make a difference. And not just a difference at work every day, but they're also doing some good in the world. You know, that's what people want to, you know, they want to know they work for a company that cares. Example of this was, you know, at Berger, we had this conversation, you know, often, and we started a foundation called Hope and Door. And what Hope and Door did was, its mission was to provide housing for families who, no fault of their own, found themselves homeless or on the verge of becoming homeless. And the impact that had on our team, knowing that they worked for a company that was doing so much good, really, and they looked around and they realized that, hey, if I leave Berger and go to work somewhere else, they're not doing these things, and this is important to me. Mm-hmm. And the only way I can stay connected to this is through my employer. And I think it's really important that you have a culture today where people feel heard, they feel respected, you know, trust is in place, and there's some greater good beyond just coming to work every day and collecting a paycheck. I think that's really important.
Yeah, and also I would imagine that one tip you could give, because you kind of mentioned it in one of the earlier segments, at Berger you said that if you had open positions, you wanted to keep them under 5%. What would you recommend to people to? What are the indicators to look for to see if they're other than just a gut feeling? You know, what should they be doing?
You mean in terms of during the interview recruiting process?
Well, but what I mean is as far as determining if they've got an issue with people losing people, and at what point do they know they've got to stop the bleeding?
Well, I'm surprised at the number of companies that don't actually track their annual turnover on a monthly basis. I talked to a lot of folks and I asked that question, you know, what is your employee turnover? And they don't have a clue. Mm. And if you don't know that, then how do you know whether or not you have a problem?
Right.
You know, when I first got to Berger, our employee turnover was in the mid-40s.
Mm.
And, you know, on an annual basis. So we were losing close to half of our workforce on an annual basis. Now, some of that was by design because, you know, I came in, new leadership, new expectations. And so you're going to have some of that. But it was an alarming number to me. And so we began to set goals and we began to talk about what do we have to do to bring this number down? And we saw it go down into the low 40s and then into the high 30s and the mid 30s and so on and so forth. And by the time I left the organization, our annual turnover was in the 20s. Mm-hmm. It was half what it used to be. And, you know, some of that was because we were doing a better job of hiring. We were hiring the right people. But I also think that, you know, we were doing a better job of taking care of our employees and making them feel appreciated and recognized and the things that really matter to people today. So I think companies have got to really make sure they have their finger on the pulse of how their employees feel. One good way to do this, by the way, Paul, I didn't intend to talk about this, but, you know, there are a lot of organizations out there that recognize best places to work.
Mm-hmm.
And those surveys, even if you don't make the cut, those surveys will really open your eyes to how your employees really feel, because they'll tell the truth on a survey, knowing that it's anonymous.
Right.
They'll never speak up and say how they feel. An example of that was the first time we entered a Best Places to Work competition. Once I joined that organization, our lowest rank, our lowest category was training.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, that's problematic.
Mm-hmm.
Our employees are saying we're not doing anything to train them. And I've always said that you should expect compensation to be the lowest, not because you're cheap, but because just no matter how much you pay people, everybody wants to be paid a little bit more,
right?
So it's just the nature of the, you know, human nature. And when I saw that training was number one, I said, okay, how do we fix this? And boy, we went hard at that to fix it. And it's interesting to watch as we began to fix that, how our employee engagement went up, our employee turnover went down. And the last year I was there, that was our second best category.
Mm.
And so we made great strides. And I think all that went hand in hand. So, you know, that's a good tip, too, is enter these things. You know, it costs you a little bit of money, a couple $100, maybe $500.
Mm-hmm.
But even if you don't get named one of the best places to work, it will open your eyes to how your employees really feel about the way you treat them.
All right. You said something that kind of struck me when you mentioned that you're surprised how many companies don't track their turnover. And to me, if they're not tracking turnover, it means that they just are accepting it is what it is.
Yeah.
Why is it important? I mean, it seems like an elementary question, but explain to our multifamily, especially the multifamily industry, why is it important to have the lowest turnover possible? What do you gain from that?
Well, first of all, ghosts never turned an apartment. So you need people to turn apartments, collect rent, so on and so forth. But most importantly, J.W. Marriott said it better than I could ever say it. J.W. Marriott said, take care of your people, they'll take care of the customer, and the business will take care of itself.
Mm.
And I think that that's absolutely brilliant. And so turnover is an indication as to how your employees feel about you, about the employer. And, you know, when you have really happy, highly engaged employees, and every survey that's ever been done, whether it's by, you know, Gallup or any other organization, will always tell you that when people love what they do it better.
Mm-hmm.
They do it with more passion. They do it for a longer, you know, there's a longer, greater commitment. And so, you know, if you don't know what that turnover is, that, you know, low turnover is an indication that your employees are really happy. They love what they do. They love who they do it for. They love who they do it with. And as a result, you're going to find that your customer is equally happy. And I think, obviously, that leads then to being way more profitable as an organization.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Tell us some more tips that you want to share with folks about this looming crisis of fight for talent.
Well, you know, just recently I worked with a pretty big operator, been around for 25-plus years. And we were having a conversation about employee compensation, and they had no metrics, they had no guide, they had nothing in place. So I shared with them what I put in place. One of the things I've done every year is I look at the various surveys. The National Apartment Association does one, the National Multi-Housing Council does one, and they do a compensation survey. And so I look at that. I look at it region by region, meaning across the country,
mm-hmm.
and I look at what I put together to make sure that I'm still in line. Because when I'm walking outside of a Buc-ee's, you know, convenience store, and I see that Buc-ee's is paying what we would pay,
mm-hmm.
it makes me say, hey, we've got to be competitive in what we pay. You know, you can go back and forth on the minimum wage conversation that takes place out of Washington. But I've always said, I don't need a politician to tell me what I should pay a person.
Mm-hmm.
I think I should pay a person a wage based on, you know, the profitability of the company, the region you're in, the value that they bring. And I've never paid anyone minimum wage. I've never paid anyone a wage that low. And so I think the first tip is look at what you're paying and make sure that you're competitive. You don't necessarily have to be at the top to be competitive, but you've got to be competitive. You've got to be in a range that would attract people.
Okay. And when you're talking about dealing with a company that has owned assets versus third party, you've got to satisfy the owners.
Yeah.
If you're doing third party management, and you're asking them to increase the budget to pay more, how do you recommend people handle that discussion?
Well, I'll tell you, I've always told folks that I can show you the proof that when I have a high performing team, you make more money. Mm-hmm. A high performing team costs more, but you make more money. And you just have to trust me on this, that if I put together a high-performing team, you're going to be more profitable. You know, another tip real quick I want to get out there before our time is gone is be willing to take some risks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I look back on my career and my resume when I first got into the business in 1994. If you would have looked at my resume, you would have never hired me. I knew nothing about apartments. Mm-hmm. I'd never lived in an apartment. I'd never worked in an apartment community. I don't know that I'd ever visited an apartment. And so you look at that resume, I was high risk. And I think it worked out quite well, not only for me, but for those that I've worked with over the years. And so be willing to take some risks. Don't just, it's not always a square peg in a square hole or a round peg in a round hole. Sometimes you got to be willing to take risks. You know, some of the best people I've hired in my career have never worked in the industry, but they had great, you know, here's the thing. People, you hear this all the time. You see it on social media. Hire for attitude and train for skills. And I say that's wrong.
Mm.
Prisons are filled with people with great attitudes. You know, Bernie Madoff, who recently passed away, mm-hmm. probably had a great attitude. You know, man, that Bernie, what a great guy. I'm going to give him $1 million of my money to invest, right?
Right.
I always say hire for values. And mm-hmm. here's what I found is that work ethic's a value. Integrity is a value. Honesty is a value. And what I have found is that people with great values always have great attitudes. And then you train them for skills.
Yeah.
And so that's what I've always tried to do in my career is that hire people who have great values, and they're always great employees because of their work ethic and their commitment and their passion and their, you know, their sincerity and so on and so forth.
All right. Well, we're going to transition here. We're going to have to end this segment in just a couple of seconds. So I wanted to give you a chance to tell our listeners how you can be reached if they have a question for you. They want to, you know, get your advice on something or do some training or whatever it might be.
Well, then go to rockstarcapital.com. That's our company website, and they'll be able to find me on the website, and they can certainly reach out to me that way. They can find me on LinkedIn. I'm extremely active on LinkedIn, so it's just simply my name, Bill Nye, just like that other Bill Nye.
That's right.
But it's Bill Nye CAM, C-A-M, for Certified Apartment Manager.
Yeah.
So if they just go to LinkedIn and looked up Bill Nye CAM, they'll find me.
Okay.
And sure, I'd happy to help anyone any way that I can.
Yeah, and now that you are headquartered in our fair city of Houston, I want to get you back on again because you always bring receipts when you come on and give us a lot of good information. But thank you so much for being here. It's great to see you again, and look forward to having you on again. So we're going to be back next week with another power panel of industry experts and great topics to discuss. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.